Good morning. We are in part two of Love Is, and we are talking about today why we love. And I want to begin, because I think it's very important when we talk about this topic of love, we tend to really kind of contextualize it within a relationship between a man and a woman, husband and wife. And so we say, okay, this is love, and we focus in on it in this way. And I want to challenge you today and really throughout this entire series, love is way bigger than just a romantic love between a husband or wife, a man and a woman. It's way bigger than that. And so as we talk about this, I don't want you to just focus on, you know, maybe if you're married, your spouse, or if you're in a dating relationship, that person that you're in a dating relationship with. I want you to think about it in a bigger context than that, because love is way bigger than just that romantic love between a man and a woman. It really impacts every part of your life when you think about it, this idea of love. And so last week we talked about, you know, what is love? What is love? And we talked about the fact that love is not a fleeting emotion. It's not something that you feel one day, then you don't feel the next. It's not something that you fall into and fall out of. It is a conscious, active, daily choice that you make to choose to love someone or choose not to love someone. It's an active choice. It's not something that happens by accident. It's not something that you stumble upon. It is something that you choose to do. So as we think about that, I really kind of said, okay, we need to then ask the question, why? Why is a very important question that if you have toddlers in your home, you get on a regular basis, because they want to understand the reason behind it. Why? And so as you think about this idea of love and asking why do we love, maybe you've never actually stopped and paused and considered why. Why do we love? In fact, if you think about it, you look at all of creation, and I know those of you that have pets, you're like, oh, they're my kids, and they're this. They're not your kids, and they don't love you. You go, oh, I'm going to type my hate email on my iPad or my iPhone right now. They don't love you for who you are. They love you for what you do for them. You feed them, you pet them, they probably don't love you if you bathe them. But, you know, they don't love you in the context of love that we're talking about. They like you, they tolerate you, you know, because of the fact that what you do for them and all these things. That's not love. When we talk about love in the context of how we've defined it last week and who God is and how he loves us, we have to take a step back and go, you know what? We are the only beings on the entire planet that do this. We're the only people, we're the only creatures that actually love. Where you wake up and you go, you know what, I'm going to choose, in spite of who they are, in spite of what they've done, or irregardless of whether or not they've done something for me or not done something for me, I am going to choose to love them. We are the only creatures in all of creation that actually have that ability or the capacity to love. So we have to ask why? Why us? Why do we have the capacity to love and yet no one, nothing else actually does? Well, the answer is found in 1 John. And we're actually going to be in this book all month long, 1 John. It's kind of the book of love in the Bible, if you will, because John talks about how God loves us, how we're supposed to love others, how we're supposed to love our brothers and sisters, how we're supposed to love everyone around us. And so the entire book is based upon all of this. And so John, in an effort to explain why we love, begins to look at who God is and how God loves us. And so it begins in 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read verses 9 and 10, and then skip down to verses 16 through 19. He says, this is how God showed his love among us. He says, okay, I want you to know why God loves you. I want you to know why he does what he does for you. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how he loves you so that you can understand why he loves you. He says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. It's very important to understand, as John begins in these first two verses here, verses 9 and 10, to understand the principle of our separation from God. The Bible says that when we're born, we are born separated from God. Because of our sin, because of our parents' sin, we're born and we cannot have a relationship with God. But God loves us. We talked about that last week. God loves us so much that he said, I don't want that type of a broken relationship. I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to experience my love. So the solution was that God would send his son, Jesus Christ, to come and pay for your sins and for my sins. So that when we receive Jesus Christ, we can now be recipients, we can have a restored relationship with God and be recipients of his love. So God showed or demonstrated his love to us by sending his son, Jesus Christ. He said, I love you this much, and I want you to see how I love you. I love you through my son, Jesus Christ. And then he continues in verses 16 through 19. He says, and so we know and we rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. This is really cool. Because it's, listen, you need to understand this. We have absolute confidence that no matter what happens in life, God is still going to love us. We have absolute knowledge, we have absolute belief that no matter what we do or what we don't do, God's love for us is going to remain unchanged. And why? It's because God is love. Now this is saying, listen, you have to understand this. God loves you not because of all the cool things that you've done. God loves you not because you're the greatest person on the planet. We all know that's not true. God loves you because of how many things you've done and how wonderful you are and the fact that you've never done anything wrong in your entire life. Just look at the person next to you. They know all about it. We all know that we aren't worthy of God's love. But he loves us anyways. He loves us not because of what we've done, but because of who he is. God is love. He is the very essence of love. He is the source of love. His very nature is love. And the cool part about this is because God loves us, not because of who we are, but because of who he is, that means that God, we know that the Bible says that God never changes from one day to the next. That means that God's love for you will never change. So we can rely on the fact that no matter what we do, no matter how we do things, no matter how we handle things, God always loves us because his love is based on who he is. So John says, man, that's how he loves us. He loves us through his son. He loves us consistently, reliably, and without change. And then he wraps it up this way. He says, whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. In other words, as we experience the love of God, God changes us from the inside out and we are drawn to him and we become more like his son, Jesus Christ. And then he says this, there is no fear in love because perfect love drives out fear. He said, God loves us with a perfect love, and love drives out fear. Now, it's interesting because oftentimes when we think of the opposite of love, we don't think of fear, do we? If we think of the opposite of love, we think of what? Hate. But John says the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is fear. Because if you are afraid, you cannot love. Because love is you loving someone in spite of who they are, whatever they does. But a fear-driven love is based upon something that they can do for you or you get back or expecting something in return. That's not really love at all. It's just, listen, perfect love, the love of Jesus Christ, when you experience it, drives out the fear so that you in turn can love others the way that you've been loved. And he finishes it this way. It says, because fear has to do with punishment. Those, or the one who fears, is not made perfect in love. And then he finishes with this. He says, we love because he first loved us. He says, why do we love? Well, first of all, let me show you how God loved. God loved you with his son, Jesus Christ. God loves you reliably. It'll never change. God loves you perfectly. And so now that you see how he loves, let me tell you why he loves. He loves because he loves you. It's like, what? What? And he goes, now, do you want to know why you love? You love because he first loved you. You see, God is the source of all love, all understanding of what it means to truly love. It begins with God. And so what I want to do is I want to ask you three questions today. I want to compare how God loved us to how we love others. And so it begins with this, the big idea. It's very simple. I always try to give you one big thing you can kind of hang on to. And so as you think about this, this is the big idea, and it's this. How you love reveals why you love. How you love reveals why you love. In other words, the way that you love someone else reveals why it is that you are loving someone else. How you love someone reveals the motivation behind why you're loving someone. So what I want to do is I want to ask you three questions. The first question is this. Do you love selflessly? Do you love selflessly? The Bible says that God loved us in this manner. He sent his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loved us so much, he willingly gave up his life. It was completely absent of any selfishness whatsoever. He did not love us to get something back from us. He loved us to give us something. He didn't love us to get something from us. He loved us to give something to us. He wanted something for us. And that's why he loved. So ask yourself, do you love selflessly or do you love with an expectation of something in return? Now, it could be something as simple as, I am choosing to love you in the hopes that you will love me back. And see, the source of your love is not the fact that you simply love them. It's the fact that you want them to what? To love you. So it's a selfish-based love. Maybe you express love to someone in the hopes that they will do something for you. You see, this idea of selfish love, any love that's generated from a desire, an expectation to get something back, is not love at all. It's manipulation. When you love out of selfish motives or a desire to get something back or an expectation to receive something in return, that is not love. It is manipulation. You are using your love to get them to change how they feel about you so that they will do and or give something to you. That's not love at all. That's selfishness. It's manipulation, attempting to tweak how they feel so that they will do something for you or give something to you. John, again, I'll just remind you of 1 John 4:10. And John said, this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. You see, God says, listen, I don't love you because you loved me. I don't love you with an expectation of return. I don't love you because I'm trying to get something from you. I love you because I want something for you. Do you love in that way? Do you love the people around you in a unselfish, in a selfless way? Or are you constantly expecting something in return? Because that isn't love. Now, that's hard, isn't it? You're like, what do you mean? So I'm supposed to love without an expectation of return? That's real love. The second question doesn't get any easier. I'm sorry. I wish it did. But the second question is, not only do you love selflessly, but do you love reliably? Do you love reliably? You know, John says, listen, we know, in 1 John 4:16, we know and we rely on the love that God has for us because God is love. God didn't love us because of what we've done or how we are or anything like that. God loves us because of who he is. He is love. Therefore, he loves us. It's unconditional. So ask yourself this question. Does the expression of your love change based upon how they behave? You see, well, no, I love them no matter what they do. Love unexpressed isn't love at all, right? So therefore, if you are expressing love differently based upon how they behave or don't behave, or you're withholding love based upon their behavior, then you are not loving reliably. And just like selfish love is an attempt, a manipulation of their feelings, unreliable or conditional love is you trying to manipulate their behavior and their actions. My guess would be most of us, if not all of us, have been the recipient of conditional love. Maybe it was parents, maybe it was a boyfriend or girlfriend, or maybe a spouse, where if you didn't do what they wanted, if you didn't act like they wanted you to act, their expression of love changed dramatically. You see, that's not love either. That is you attempting to control the other person. And love doesn't control. Love sets free. Love allows others to be who they are. Now, it doesn't mean that you're a doormat. It doesn't mean you allow people to do things to you that harm you. That's nothing to do with it at all. It just simply has the fact of whether or not you are loving them in spite of what they do or they don't do, because that's how God loves us. God loves us unconditionally and without reservation. It doesn't matter what you do or what you don't do. And here's a powerful truth. God cannot love you more than he loves you right now because he loves you perfectly. God cannot love you less than he loves you right now because he loves you perfectly. It is not based in who you are, it's based in who he is. And so as you think about how you love others, you have to look and ask yourself the question, do you love conditionally or do you love unconditionally? We like to say we love unconditionally, don't we? But if we're all honest, I think we could probably all say that there are times in our lives where we do not really love unconditionally. You may think about it and go, well, you know, it's this or it's that or it's this reason, it's that reason. The bottom line is, if you change how you love someone based upon their behavior, you are loving conditionally. God doesn't love us that way. God doesn't look at us and say, listen, here is the standard of measurement. If you will live up to that, then I'll love you. In fact, the Bible says that we have all fallen short of God's standard. We've all fallen short, but God loves us anyways. In fact, God's love doesn't just not say, change and I'll love you. God's love says, I will love you, and through my love, I will change you into the man or the woman that I've called you to be. So, do you love selflessly? Do you love reliably? The last one, do you love perfectly? Do you love perfectly? Now, if you're honest, you're going, what the heck? Seriously? Perfectly? I mean, we know we're not perfect, right? Can we agree we're all not perfect? Can we agree we're all probably pretty messed up? We've got issues. We've got baggage. You know, we would have to pay lots and lots of baggage fees if we flew with all of our baggage. Because we all have issues. If you go, I don't have any issues, that's an issue because we have issues. We all have problems. We all have things that we're dealing with. And so there's absolutely no way for us to love perfectly. Yet, the Bible says that if we are to be the type of people that God wants us to be, that we need to have a love that when we cast it on others, when we express it to others, it's just like God's perfect love, and it not only expels fear in us, but in them. How is that possible? If I try to love someone perfectly, it's not going to happen. Nonetheless, have you seen the person I'm trying to love perfectly? You realize how difficult that is. If we try and we attempt to love someone or someone else out of our own love, we will always fall short. We are finite human beings. And when we die, this life is over with. We cannot love perfectly because we are not perfect. And not only that, John says that if you have fear, you cannot give perfect love. Because one who lives in fear cannot live in love. So if you have any fear in your life, which I think probably would all say, got a few. Phobias, if you want to call them that. You cannot love perfectly. So how in the world are we supposed to live up to this expectation of loving someone perfectly? Well, you cannot give something that you do not have. The only way that you can ever love someone perfectly is if you become a vessel of transition of God's love to them. You can only love someone perfectly if you yourself have experienced perfect love. And the only one who can ever show perfect love is God, because God is love. You see, you cannot love out of your greatness and wonderfulness, because that's not going to go very well. But if you love out of the overflow of the love that you've already experienced through Jesus Christ, that's when you can show and extend perfect love. So, as you think about this, and as we process this, and we put this kind of all together with this idea of love, you have to ask yourself this question. How much of God's perfect love have I experienced? How much of God's perfect love have I embraced? How much of God's perfect love am I willing to share with others? Because you will never be able to share God's love if you haven't experienced God's love. Maybe this morning you say, you know what? I don't know that I've ever experienced God's love. I don't really know if I've ever truly accepted Jesus Christ's love on my behalf ever. Maybe you think about it. Maybe you thought about it. Maybe you've gone to church. Maybe you've grew up in a Christian home. Maybe you're a good person, but you've never truly experienced God's love. You've never truly accepted God's love. Maybe it's because you thought you needed to do something. Well, this morning we talked about the fact God doesn't love you because you've done something or you're going to do something. God loves you because of who He is. Maybe it's because you think you're not good enough. Well, the truth of the matter is none of us are good enough. We're all in the same boat when it comes to that. We're not special in any way, shape, or form. We are simply people who need to experience God's love. So this morning, my challenge to you would be this. If you say, you know, I have never in my life experienced God's love, my challenge to you today would be to accept God's love. The Bible makes it very, very clear. It makes it very simple. It says, if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and you accept that gift of God, that you have become saved, you can experience God's love, because the depth of which you experience God's love is the depth of which you can express God's love to others. Maybe we've gone through the list today and you've asked yourself, do I love selfishly? Do I love inconsistently? Do I love imperfectly? Do you know what the answer is? Experience God's perfect love and allow that love to flow through you to those around you. Maybe this morning you already accepted Jesus Christ a long time ago. Maybe you've been a Christian for years and years and years and years and years, and you go to church and you volunteer and you give and all that stuff. But when it comes to loving others, you go, man, I have been loving people in my way, not God's way. Maybe you're married and you go, you know what, I'm trying to change them into the person that I can love instead of loving them and allowing the love that God has through you, through them, to change them. Whatever the case may be, my challenge to you would be this. If you love God, we have been challenged by God to love others the same way that God has loved us. It can't be on condition. It can't fluctuate from how they behave or how they act. It can't be you trying to get something back from them. It simply has to be you allowing God's love to flow through you. Father God, we thank you so much for your gift of Jesus Christ, for your willingness to die on the cross for us in a way, God, that we can't even understand. As we look at this, God, this love that you have is so foreign to us because, God, as human beings, we often love with expectation. We often love with the desire to change somebody And rarely do we ever love perfectly. But God, we look at how you loved us, and we understand why. Because you are love. And God, as we look at those around us, I pray that you challenge us. I pray that you dig into our hearts and you remind us that we have been recipients of the greatest love the world has ever seen. And yet we end up being stingy with our love. We end up trying to craft or shape or change someone to our will instead of simply loving them because you've loved us. Father, maybe this morning there are those who recognize the fact that they've never embraced the love that God has for them, that you have expressed through your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, I pray in the quietness of this moment, for those that maybe are sitting there going, you know what, I've never done that and I need to do that. I pray, God, in their hearts and in their minds, that they would just say this to you, God, I accept your love. Your love expressed to me through Jesus Christ's death on the cross. God, please change me from the inside out so that I can be the man or the woman that you've called me to be. God, I surrender myself to you. Father, I pray that as we move from this moment and we begin to sing songs about your love and how you have loved us, God, that transition that's taken place in our hearts not fade away. That we move into this week with the desire to love others as you have loved us and because you've loved us. And Father, we are so thankful for this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.